morning, friends. This morning I have a pretty interesting topic, probably a big one for us to chew on. I don't know if you've stopped to think what has God got you on earth for? And more specifically, what's he got in store for you in wherever you live in the Hunter in 2024? And yeah, I just really feel that God wants me to share three things. One, just what's the calling on your life? What are the ways that God calls you and what does he call you to? Always wanted to use a megaphone. And I want to also give some warnings. These are used to warn people. So unfortunately the batteries don't work, so I can't use it. I was hoping to reinforce some points, but after we talk about the callings, just a few warnings that I think will be helpful. And it's a kind of a funny topic because God's calling on my life is kind of somewhat hinging on today, and my calling gets to be confirmed by other people, which is a little bit unusual. But yeah, I just think that's the humour of God to get me to speak on a topic like this. But also, I just want to let you know, when Ethan was speaking a few weeks ago at the end of his message, he just invited people to ask God, what do we need from God to enjoy more freedom in life? And because I had put up my hand for the team leader role, I just felt God say, I want you to surrender people's approval or disapproval of you. That whether you do this role or not doesn't change who you are or who you are to me. So I just wanted to just encourage you for the same, for whatever you do, or it's not who you are. God sees you very special, and we'll talk about that in this topic. And we see all through the Bible, God calls people. Sean, is it possible to get the slides on the back just so I can track where I'm up to? But God calls all kinds of people in all kinds of different ways. We see Abraham was called to be the father of the Israel nation. Moses was called to lead God's people out of the bondage of Egypt into the promised land. Joseph was called to be prince of Egypt. Gideon was called by God to be a mighty warrior. David was called by God to be king. Samuel, Elijah, Elisha, all called by God to be his mouthpiece, his spokespeople. John the Baptist was called to pave the way for Jesus. Matthew was called from being a tax collector to becoming an apostle. Simon was called to establish the first church. And Paul was called to take the gospel to the Gentiles. And like all of God's people, he's also calling you. God is calling you. And what I want to do is share six ways that God calls people into their true purposes in life. So there's a fair bit I need to get through. So two things if I can ask you to do. One is to listen really quickly. And the second one is, as is my want, to have the Bible verses on the screen for you to read. But just apologise that I won't read them all or I won't make the Bible references. But if you can just enjoy them, just so we can get through. So the first of the callings we got when Jesus was on earth, and John the Baptist and Jesus both went around calling people to repentance, to change your thinking. The first calling of God to everyone is a call to change in the way that we think, the way that we think about ourselves, the way we think about God, the way we think about life. As Matthew 4:17 does say, repent, change your inner self, your old way of thinking, your regret, your past sins, and live your life in a way that proves repentance and seek God's purpose for your life. And Peter later preached repentance after Jesus' death and resurrection the same. Repent, change your inner self, your old way of thinking, your regrets and past sins, and return to God, seek his purpose for your life. And we too are called to repentance. We need to change the way we think in line with the way that God thinks, in line with God's truth. And how do we change our thinking and our ways? How fortunate are we to have God's word? It's in black and white. It's there for our benefit to help us understand the truth of who God is, who we are to him. And that beautiful encouragement in Hebrews 4 that the Word of God is not just a historical document, it's alive and it's active and it's full of power. And it changes us and helps us to understand the very thoughts and intentions of the heart. And what does, change your thinking? And Jesus said, if we're going to change, we also do some actions towards that. And we are called, Jesus asks us to be baptized as a way of our changing. And changing our thinking, a demonstration of the changing of the way we think is to be baptized in water and being baptized in the Spirit. And part of the big part of the thinking of who we are is understanding our calling to be a new creation. God doesn't just improve us. He changes us into a new creation. And it's something that God does. It's not something that we have to do. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature, reborn and renewed by the Holy Spirit. The old things have passed away. New things have come. And the good thing about being a new creation is it's not something that we have to do or can do. We can't change our hearts. Only God can do that. And he promised that in the Old Testament right through the Bible. He promised that he will take away our hardened hearts and give us a tender, responsive heart, a heart of flesh. So the beautiful thing about God's calling for us to be a new creation is that that's his doing. But there is something we can do, or more importantly, not do. We are instructed to put off our old self because we have this battle in ourselves that our old self wants to take back ground off the new creation. Since you have heard about Jesus and learned the truth that comes from him, throw off your old sinful self and your former way of life, and instead let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. We get to choose to put on this new nature, created to be like God. God wants us to be a new creation. The next thing God calls us to, as we sang in those songs today, that the title that God uses for himself in the Bible more than any other title is Father. God wants us to experience him as Father more than anything, and he wants us to identify ourselves as sons and daughters above everything else. And God's word reminds us again and again and again. And here just a handful of the verses. But all who believe in him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. See how very much our Father loves us, for he calls us his children. And that's what we are. For everyone who has the Spirit of God, who are led by the Spirit of God, are children of God. And even for Jesus, his identity as son was so vital for him. And before he did any ministry, after his baptism and after Jesus came up out of the water, God clearly communicated to him and to everyone around him that he was, first and foremost, my dearly loved son who brings me great joy. And the Father, more than anything, wants to say that to you. You are my dearly loved daughter. You are my dearly loved son. And you need to live out of that identity more than anything else. And so many people have their identity based on what they do or who their partner is or where they live or what car they drive or what they look like. God wants us to have our identity firmly fixed on the great privilege that we are his sons and daughters. One other thing that God calls us to be, before I get on to what God calls us to do, is that God calls each one of us to be part of his church. And the word church in the New Testament is the word ecclesia, which simply means the called out ones. So we are just a gathering of people who God individually calls, and we're called to be together. And so what does being part of his church look like? We've done sermon series on this before, so it's a huge topic in itself, but I just want to reiterate just a few key points about our calling individually in being part of church. And the first one is that we're called to be family. And again, as sons and daughters, all the other sons and daughters in the room are your family. Jesus said, when asked, who are his family? He said, not the ones I'm born with or live with, they're the ones who are, whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my family. As Paul said in Galatians, you know, we have the opportunity to do good to everyone and especially to those who are in the relationship of family of faith. And that knowing that you're called to a family is so helpful, particularly when you have to relate to people that you don't know or people that you don't necessarily like or who are very different to you. And just knowing that you're called just gives us the courage and the necessity to get along. God calls us into unity more than anything else, and unity as family. And as well as family, we're also, each one of us are called to be a part of the body that is the church. Just as our bodies have many parts and each part has its function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body and we all belong to each other in his grace. And God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. We all have a part to play in his church. Whether that be this church or if you're called to another church, you have a part to play. God has uniquely gifted you, wired you, and is preparing you to play a part in his body. So how do we be part of the body? Some of the ways, you know, we've got these events coming up. And again, we don't create the events just to keep you busy. We really want to create opportunities where we can experience each other as family. And the afternoon, next Sunday afternoon, as Michelle said, is exactly that. We just want to create a space where we can just get to know each other outside of a Sunday gathering where we all know we get a two-minute conversation with lots of people or a long conversation with the people that we already know. So I just really want to encourage you to take the opportunities that God gives you to connect with people through the social activities or contacting people yourself or just making time to catch up and getting to know his family. And as far as playing your part in the church body, which often have conversations around, you know, what's my part in the church? I just so love it. You know, we kind of communicate when there are certain needs at certain times. But it's so much more beautiful when people come up and say, I feel God wanting me to offer myself to do this. And just knowing that it's something that God's called you to do. I know when I first started here 10 years ago and I had an admin assistant who was actually from another church who volunteered here, which seemed a bit odd. And, you know, lovely lady, but probably took a bit more effort explaining to her what I needed to do than to actually do it myself. One of those situations. And anyway, God must have spoken to her. She said, I feel like I should finish up here. And it's like, okay, I need an admin person. And then within a week, I had Deb and I had Diane, two people come up to me and say, I feel God saying to offer myself to help you in the office. It's like, God, you are quick sometimes. And it was just, but it's just, you know, the heart behind it. And then after they finished, Nikki, exactly the same. I feel God saying to come and offer to assist you. And, you know, when people are motivated by the heart to do something prompted by God, you just know that they're going to do it well. You know they're going to do it wholeheartedly. The other thing I just wanted to, just something that God's been talking to me about being church is just how, and again, it's really challenging me about this, is how do we represent church in our community? You know, church is not, we're post-church era. It's not the kind of the societal norm for people to go to church. And there's a lot of negative connotations when people think of church. And there's a lot of history, and particularly in this region with royal commissions and stuff, that just have tainted church. And I just feel God just challenging me about, how are people going to know about church any differently than if I tell them or show them what church is like. That if that's their thoughts about what church is like, how is that going to change without people who enjoy church telling people about why they enjoy church, or to help challenge people's paradigms around what church is, let alone, you know, inviting people to connect with people from church or church events. But I just really feel that calling about being church is being able to communicate what church is to people who are yet to experience the beauty of church. Does that make sense? And so the things that we get to do in playing a part in church kind of connects in with the fifth of the callings. And it's the callings to do good works. And this Bible verse was the first one that I was invited to learn when I went to Bible college, Ephesians 2:10. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. And as more beautifully put in the Amplified Version translation, for we are his workmanship, his own masterwork, a work of art, created in Christ Jesus, reborn from above, spiritually transformed, renewed, ready to be used for good works, which God prepared for us beforehand, taking paths which he set so that we would walk in them, living the good life which he prearranged and made ready for us. Is that encouraging or what? We don't have to kind of muster up and think, oh, quick, what's my good deed for the day? It's more, God, what have you set me up for? What have you got in store for me? God saves you. God calls you. God empowers you to do good works. And all of his good works are simply an expression of his love. Whether that's cleaning up something, whether it's helping out in a ministry, whether it's doing practical helps. Good works can be relational, can be organisational, can be practical. God has got all sorts of good works that he has given you the gifts to do and that he's preparing for you to do them. They can be small tasks. They can be big tasks. They can be things that we spend a lot of our time throughout our days doing. Sometimes it's our vocation. And, you know, we use that word vocation, having worked in employment services. The term vocation in the Oxford Dictionary is a type of work or a way of life that you believe is especially suitable for you. And more accurately, the Bible Dictionary is a vocation. It's not just something that God calls us to do. It's also the person God calls us to be. Because, again, there's always that danger of we get to do something, and particularly if it's something significant or public, it's so easy for that thing that we do to become our identity. But our vocation is both what God calls us to be, first and foremost, but also the things that he invites us to do and has prepared for us to do. So how do we find our vocation? All sorts of different ways. I used to work in employment services for about 20 years, and it used to always frustrate me when a Christian came for career counselling. Because I'd sit down and talk with them and give them an understanding of the labour market, look at their skills, look at the opportunities. But nearly every single time, God would do something out of the ordinary that calls them to what he wanted them to do. And it's that Jehovah sneaky thing. You know, you can do, and I've learned that we need to take the steps of, you know, if we need to find employment or if we want to make use of our time and our giftings, then we need to take steps to explore that, to talk to people, to look at opportunities, but just let God open the doors. It's so much fun, and he's always so creative, and so often things come out of left field that you just know that you know that you know that you're called to him. This guy here, his name is Paul Manwaring. Just an example of how God used something kind of strange in calling me or confirming where he wanted me to be. When I left Geraldton and went up to Broome, the person that took over from me in the church sent me a teaching from this guy, Paul Manwaring, on the spiritual gift of administration, which is teaching about how in the next move of the Holy Spirit, that the church just doesn't just need spiritual-led preachers and teachers, but even in the administration, just being able to do things God's way and being allowing the Spirit to lead even in administration. And it was just so helpful to me to understand why God wired me the way that he did, or give me the experiences that he had, or what he was calling me into. This guy worked at Bethel Church in California. He's from England. I think he's back in England now. And anyway, I just had this teaching, and it was just such a gift to me. And then when I went to leave Geraldton to find my next job, the position that I ended up getting down in Warrnambool, Victoria, was a job called a pastor of administration, which is a really strange title. It sounds like, you know, the chaplain of a typing pool or something. But God usually went, pastor, administration thing. And it was just such a drawing to me to apply for the job. And then that opened up and was a great time of preparation for here. And then God called me to finish up at Warrnambool. And there'd been a job advertised up here. And so I rang, but they'd filled the position or restructured the church here. So they weren't looking for the executive pastor here. But I said, I'll send on my resume, and maybe if they're looking for someone down the track, they could keep me in mind. And then I got an email from Chris McRae saying, you know, we don't really need someone, but there's probably no harm getting to know you. So maybe we can have a Zoom chat and catch up. So I said, okay. And in the first conversation that I had with Chris on Zoom, and she said, so what kind of shapes your approach to ministry? What kind of gives you appreciation of the way God wants church to work? And I said, well, it's a little bit hard to understand, but there's this guy called Paul Manwaring who taught on the spiritual gift of administration that just helped illuminate some of the ways churches should run in line with the Holy Spirit. And she said, I had lunch with Paul Manwaring last weekend. So how does God call you? He'll do it in all sorts of different ways, but he'll do it by the Holy Spirit. The Spirit uses all sorts of... He'll use conversations, he'll use movies, he'll use dreams, he'll use stirrings, he'll use job ads, he'll use discontent, he'll use frustration. God has a really good way, if our heart is open to him, to guide us to where he wants us to be and do what he wants us to do. Even Jesus was called to do good works. And what were they? He stood up in his first teaching at the temple through the prophet Isaiah and told people, which I really wish I could remember off heart. Who knows that passage? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me to set the blind free, give sight to the blind, set the captives free, bind up the brokenhearted, release to the prisoners, and proclaim the year of the Lord's favour. So Jesus stood up and said, this is what I'm here for. This is what I've been anointed for. This is God called me to do, to bring good news, proclaim the captives be released, the blind see, the oppressed set free. The time of the Lord's favour has come. And then sat down and said, it's done. This is what's happening. And God even gave Jesus his vocation, his calling. And the thing is, in terms of Jesus' vocation, we get to continue his calling. And God is calling all of us to continue his work in sharing and showing his gospel. It's the last thing that Mark records Jesus saying whilst he was on earth before he ascended into heaven. He called his followers to do something, to go into all the world, to preach the good news to everyone, to baptize people. Again, one day Jesus called together his 12 disciples and gave them power and authority to cast out demons, heal diseases, and he sent them out to tell everyone about the kingdom of God. That's just the way things roll in the kingdom of God, and to heal the sick. And the classic commission in Matthew 28, I've been given all authority in heaven and on earth, and I give it to you. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We get to share in Jesus' work of sharing and showing the gospel. Now, that can be sharing the gospel and explaining God's plan and his love and how people get saved and come into his kingdom. But showing the gospel can also look like just continuing the works of Jesus, seeing people healed, seeing people released, being a listening ear, showing the love of God to people. So there's some of the callings. Quite a few. Is everyone feeling tired thinking about all of God's things God's calling us to do? Well, again, fortunately I can't scream at you through this one, but warning, Will Robertson, showing my age. First warning, this could seem daunting, but it's not meant to be. God wants you to both guide you and empower you and to lead you to be able to do all of these things. Jesus said in Matthew 11, 28, come to me, all you who are weary, anybody? And who carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I'm humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For the way I do things is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light. God will give you the ability, and he will also give you the time to do all these things. And I know we're all busy, and I know this is, again, for me, it's really the time challenge is more a priority of our hearts. It's not that we don't have the time. God only asks us to do the things that we are capable of doing with his empowerment. Amen? Warning number two, your calling, although it be easy, and it will be challenging. God just gives us life challenges in the midst of his calling. And he uses that to grow us and to test us and to mature us, to prove our faith and to confirm our identity. Jesus didn't make it easy for people to follow him when he called them. Being called to follow Jesus is an invitation to the best life ever. But it's also, he wants you to eat his flesh, drink his blood, take up your cross, be crucified, die to yourself, crucify yourself. The calling is daunting. Your calling can be challenging. Your calling will be tested. This one's for sure. Jesus has an enemy, and Satan hates people knowing their calling and living out their calling. He hates them knowing their true identity. And even your flesh doesn't like living out your calling. Satan wants to help you shape what you really think of yourself on anything other than your being a son or daughter of God. He will give you a sense of pleasure, of importance, outside of what God sees you as. And we need to be aware that that will happen. Even Adam and Eve, did God really say, when Jesus was in the wilderness, if you are the Son of God, Jesus' own identity and calling was tested. You can be assured that yours will too. And I was supposed to have this on a whiteboard, but missed the whiteboard time. But this isn't a five-step program. It's not, okay, I'll do that one, tick, 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 tick. It's being is most important, and then doing. But in the doing, God gets to reinforce of who you are and see what you can do as my child and my son. So it's this beautiful callings that help reinforce each other. And the last and most important warning, it's all about the heart. It's all about the heart. The prophet Isaiah said, when we display our righteous deeds or put more value in our deeds than in our relationship with God, they are nothing but filthy rags. God doesn't like us doing any good work unless it's a God work. And then also in Revelation 3, he just rebukes the church. I know all things you do, that you are neither hot nor cold. I wish that you were one or the other. But since you are lukewarm water, neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. You say, I'm rich, I have everything I need. I don't need a thing. and you don't realize that you're wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. It's all about the heart. God wants all of us. He wants us wholehearted. He wants us wholehearted. So I just want to finish by just giving you a few minutes conversation starter with God. How are we going to outwork out all our callings? How are we going to get clarification on our callings? God will help us. He promises to. So I just want to just give us a few minutes now, just as we finish off. Just between you and God, God help me. Maybe one or all of these six things. God help me to be willing to continually change my thinking, because we can be trapped in our thoughts. We never arrive in knowing everything about the truth. It is a continual transformation of our mind that we have to engage in. To embrace that transformation, God desires for all of us to become more and more like Him, and He does that work in our heart, but we just need to allow Him and partner Him and keep the old person out. God, help me to live first and foremost as your child above all else. Help me to get my sense of important significance from that more than anything else. Help me to know and play a part in your church family. Help me to do those good works that you've called me to do wholeheartedly, to know what they are, to change if they're not what you want me to do, to find what they are. And help me to partner with Jesus in His mission of sharing and showing the gospel. Help me to go out of my way to boldly demonstrate your goodness. So can I pray for us, and then just give you a few minutes just to connect with the Father, just pick one or two of those questions and just start a conversation with Him. Oh, Father God, thank you that you care about us so much, that you created us in your image. You made us unique in our personalities and wirings and even in our giftings, and that you know the best life possible that for us to enjoy, for us to experience. And we know that that comes through Jesus. So we just pray that you help us to embrace changing the way we think, just to be open to knowing how you think and the way that you do life. Help us to understand that we are a new creation in Christ, that you do continue to transform us more and more into your image, into your likeness. Thank you that you do call us to be church, to be part of church, to be family, to be part of the body. Thank you that you call us to do good works. And thank you. Thank you that we get meaningful things that help people experience your love and that make the world a truly better place. And a big part of that is sharing and showing your gospel. So help us to be excited by the prospects of the things that you're calling us to do, and to have confidence that your Holy Spirit empowers us to do it, even when we don't think we can. So just as we pause now, just encourage us by your Spirit as to reminding, confirming or clarifying what you're calling us into. I say it in Jesus' name. Amen. So we can just have a few minutes just with the Father, and then I'll get Michelle to finish up. Thanks. Thank you.